Green light. Praise God. Isaiah 51. This is good stuff. This is about the holy city of Zion, city of David, the city of God. Hallelujah. Oh, pardon me, Isaiah 52. That's better. Isaiah 52, beginning at verse 1. Awake, awake, clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no more come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to reside there. Then the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people have been taken away without cause? Again the Lord declares, those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day I am the one who is speaking here, I am. I am the one who is speaking here, I am. Do you get that? This is God in all his authority saying, I am speaking here. It's not what they had to say. Listen to what I have to say. How lovely on the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news. The good news is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what the gospel means. Gospel is good news. How lovely are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, you watchmen, lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Oh, when the Lord restores Zion. Join me in prayer. Lord, Your word is beautiful. Your word is righteous and good. Your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word is Jesus Christ, the living word, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. It is eternal, unchanging, and unbreakable. Your word is truth. We want so very much to hear and receive your word today as it concerns Zion. Today is the official day, like we needed an official day. But today is the day to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We are called to pray for Jerusalem. And not just to pray for Jerusalem, but pray for the peace of Jerusalem, very specifically. And this is the international, this is worldwide, this is an event that happens yearly, and today is that day. So I'm going to begin by asking John to show you a short presentation regarding prayer for the peace of Jerusalem.
I will not take sides. for Zion's sake, I'll not hold my peace. For Zion's sake, for Jerusalem, I will not rest. I will not rest. I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never.
That so you can appreciate that our prayers are not small or maybe alone or whatever. We are praying with others around the world today. And when you think about all the different time zones, and I would suggest on this day there will be prayers going up entirely throughout the day, thousands and thousands and thousands of prayers. And when church ends this morning, that does not mean our prayers end today. You continue to pray throughout the day. You just keep lifting up prayers to Jerusalem and to God of heaven that He would do His will, that Thy will be done, Lord, in Jerusalem today and every day. And as you put your head on your pillow tonight, I invite you to pray one more time, that the last thought as you close your eyes tonight, be prayer for the peace of Jerusalem. You would do that. During its long history, Jerusalem has been destroyed twice, besieged at least 23 times, attacked 52 times, captured and recaptured 44 times. The oldest part of the city was settled in the 4th millennium B.C., making Jerusalem one of the oldest cities in the world. This is something. This is something. Jerusalem is something. In God's plan, it is very much an important place on the globe's map. The first known mention of the city is around 2000 BC, in which the city name was recorded as Rusalimim. The root, which sounds like Es-Salem, is the name thought to refer to peace, if you would consider it, comparing it to the word shalom or salem, which is the modern Arabic and Hebrew words for peace. The book of Genesis 14 and 18 mentions a city called Salem, which most Jewish commentators believe refers to what we know today to be Jerusalem. The city of Salem was ruled by a king named King Melchizedek, interestingly enough. This Melchizedek is a type of Jesus. When I say a type of Jesus, it is a foreshadow, is an example of what Christ is like. Melchizedek, to whom Abraham gave tithe. There's so much there. We could talk about that for a great long time. Jesus is likened to this Melchizedek, as we read in Hebrews 7, verse 1 through 3. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remaining a priest continually. There's Melchizedek in the city Salem. Some would suggest that Jerusalem's history reaches back even further. According to Jewish tradition, by the Midrash, Jerusalem was founded by Abraham's forefathers, Shem and Eber. Shem, we know to be one of the three sons of Noah. In fact, the term Hebrew is derived from Shem's descendant, Eber. Eber was a Shemite and the first Hebrew. You see that in the word Eber, Hebrew. He was not yet an Israelite, as Israel had not yet existed. He was still only a glint in a father's eye who did not exist either. He was a Jew, but not yet a Jew. The ancient city of Jerusalem has been occupied by Israelites for over 3,000 years. Just in case you thought there's something new here. Jerusalem has been occupied by Israelites for 3,000 years. The city of Jerusalem has such a history, called the city of David. It was there that David brought the head of Goliath. It was there David drove out the Jebusites. It was there David built his palace. It was there David built an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor. It was there David brought the Ark of the Covenant. It was there David established the new capital of Israel. It was called the City of God, the City of the Great King, Holy Mountain. It was there Solomon built the temple on Mount Moriah. It was there Solomon strengthened and adorned the city, and it was there Solomon made it the religious center of their nation. This Jerusalem. Yet Jerusalem as a city has seen more upheaval than peace. It has been taken and retaken by Egyptians, Assyrians, even the kings of Israel, Babylonians, Persians, Greeks, Romans, Arabs. In 588 BC, it was taken and destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and then it was rebuilt by Cyrus of Persia, and then later conquered in 167 by the Greeks, and later Rome. It was there, this Jerusalem. It is the birthplace of Christianity. In the first century, it is the location of the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Right there, Jerusalem. According to the book of Acts, the apostles of Christ received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost in Jerusalem. AD 70, it was destroyed by Rome and laid in ruins. In the year 135, the Jews retook Jerusalem. And 614, year 614, the Persians conquered it. Then the Arabians in 637. And then the Egyptians, my goodness. And then the city was captured by the Crusaders in 1099 and held by Roman Catholic Europe for nearly 90 years. This Jerusalem has been the focus of so much attention. In fact, I suggest it's been the focus of the enemy's attention, but more so God's attention. And in 1946, it was then occupied again and strongly by the Jews. The people, Israel, have existed for over 4,000 years and have occupied this promised land after the Exodus for some 3,500. And such a thing, after thousands of years of non-existence as a place on a map, Israel, a people, has existed. That's amazing. They did not exist as a place on a map. You could not look at a map and say, here it is, here is Israel. But a people, Israel, has existed throughout that time. What a thing. You know what that thing is? That is God. That is God who has preserved them as a people for all of that time and for a purpose. And in 1948, after thousands of years of non-existence, Israel was established again as a country. What a thing. What a thing. And I shared before, as we talked about this country, Israel, it was attacked on the very same day that it gained its independence. May 14, 1948, the armies of Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq attacked Israel. With such a combined force attacking Israel, no one would have given this new country any chance of survival. But God said otherwise. Now to present day. On September 24th at sundown, Rosh Hashanah ushered in the start of the Jewish New Year. The year? 5775. I just love that when I think about the history of time. Israel's been keeping track. 5775 is the year. I suggest the end of days is soon. You know, I liken it to the 7 days of creation. And for 6 days, God created. And now for nearly 6,000 years, man has been. It's just about time for that 1,000 years of rest. That millennial rest. The end of days is here. It's so soon. It's the final day when God says enough. It is soon approaching. But the new year, 5775, and 10 days after the new year, October 4th was just a few days ago, Jews across Israel and around the world celebrate Yom Kippur. This is the solemn observance of the Day of Atonement. It began at sundown this past Friday, and what a sacred day it is. And what a reminder to us of God's love as He provided for us a Savior. Then, beginning October 9th, the week-long festival, the Feast of Booths, Sukkot. This feast is first mentioned in Scripture at Sinai when the giving of the law in Exodus as the Feast of Ingathering. It was to be celebrated after the children of Israel entered the Promised Land at the end of the year after gathering the fruits of their labors. It was one of the three times in the year when all males were to come and appear before God to worship Him. To worship Him. As we have worshiped Him today. And wasn't that a wonderful word from the Lord this morning? That He is looking for those who will worship Him. At this time, it is so important to appreciate. During this harvest festival, many people sleep in what would equate to tents or little shacks, something that is not stationary, not permanent. It is a moving home, if you will, as they remember the wandering of the chosen people through the wilderness and celebrate with feasting for a full week. While these are high holy days on the Jewish calendar, this is also a critical time for Israel. On September 23rd, Israel shot down a Syrian fighter jet that crossed into Israeli airspace. This is the first time in nearly 30 years such a thing has happened. It's just another reminder of the daily threat that the Jewish people face. The Jewish state is surrounded on every side. The world continues to do nothing to respond to the rising tide of anti-Semitism. You can be sure the curse and judgment of Almighty God has been pronounced on every nation that does not bless Israel in the crisis that they are experiencing this day. I believe God is asking, will you stand in the gap for Israel today? The prophet Isaiah wrote of hearing God's question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah answered, here am I, send me. I believe God is asking, who will pray? Who will pray for the peace of Jerusalem? What will your answer be today? I hope, like me, you are very much concerned with the terrible difficulties Israel has faced this year. Over 15,000 rockets have fallen on Israel from Gaza. Miraculously, the loss of life has been minimal. But the nation as a whole has never felt more isolated, vulnerable, and alone. Their Prime Minister Netanyahu, is so much urgently needing our prayers. You need to pray for this man. What a heavy responsibility he has in these end days as he leads his country, Israel. He is under spiritual attack in a staggering way. This past Tuesday, he addressed a very hostile United Nations General Assembly. And the following day, he was to meet with President Obama. The pressure being put on this good man must be overwhelming. You can be assured that he desperately needs our prayers right now. And we need to stand with this people in prayer right now. And God has given us, as one brother put it when I asked him if he would pray, God has given us a privilege, and it's an honor to pray for Jerusalem. The most important spiritual battle of our age is being waged right now over the future of Jerusalem and Israel. And it is a battle you and I must fight on our knees. Pray for Jerusalem. Bless the nation of Israel, for they and we are God's chosen people. Be sure our prayers matter. God would not ask us to pray if it didn't matter. Israel, yes, it is defended by courageous men and women. But Israel is also defended by God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the defender of our Israel, of Jerusalem. I absolutely believe that Israel is under divine protection. Of course it is. And those who bless Israel shall be blessed. I just want to read one last scripture, and then we're going to go to prayer for some time here. And we need not be in any hurry to leave. I would like to read from Revelation, book of Revelation, chapter 21. There are numerous scriptures I could have selected this morning that speak of the future of Jerusalem. I shared with you historical past and the present, but how about this future? Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. This new Jerusalem will be where God sets up his holy temple. He will reign out of this new Jerusalem. That will be Jesus, our King, our Lord, mighty God. Wow, that's our Jerusalem. I've invited Jim Vohl and John Kiesling to come forward and lead us in prayer this morning. And as they do so, come forward, gentlemen. You might as well come, both of you, now. And Jim, you can come first. And John, you can take the second place in prayer. And then I will... That should work for you.
It was a real honor to be asked to come up here and speak and pray on behalf of Jerusalem. I first heard of Jerusalem to some degree when I first became a Christian years ago and was in Moose Lake Bible Camp. I mean, all those evangelists that would come up there would speak of Jerusalem and what they were going through, and it was amazing how they managed to survive all those attacks and on their own, for the most part, on their own.
Yeah. Thank God.
Okay, let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, I just hardly know where to begin.
God Almighty.
In your word, it says that you appointed Abraham to come out of the city of Ur in the region of the Chaldees to leave his home in faith.
Jeez.
To someday end up in Israel and in Jerusalem. Along the way, and after he got there, God tested Abraham's faith. Genesis 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham was true.
Jesus.
He loved God.
Test our faith.
Psalms 105, verses 11. I will give you the land of Canaan as your special possession.
See, I've given it to you.
Jerusalem, the holy city of Jerusalem, in your word.
Jesus.
Psalms 87, verse 2. He loves the city of Jerusalem more than any other city in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
132, verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. He has desired it for his home. Psalms 48, verse 8. We had heard of the city's glory, but now we have seen it ourselves. The city of the Lord of heaven's armies. It is the city of our God. He will make it safe forever. A promise. In Isaiah 2, verse 4. And he shall judge the nations and shall rebuke many people.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall beat their swords into plowshares
and
their spears into prune hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Thank you, Lord.
neither shall they learn of war anymore.
Anymore. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, I just stand here humbly in your presence in the sanctuary with 80 believers who are in agreement. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the safety of Israel. I just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would give Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his cabinet the wisdom that they need, and the knowledge that they need, that they've accumulated over the past since 1948. To protect their nation, to protect their city. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would send down your Holy Spirit upon that cabinet and upon the people of Israel.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that you would continue to protect them, Lord. And that was so evident in this last go-around with Gaza, that you protected them. And it was just unspeakable.
Hallelujah.
Like Pastor Dan says, Lord, the thousands and thousands of rockets that were fired into Jerusalem, and just a handful of people lost their lives. Heavenly Father, I just pray that someday down the road, in the very near future, that Arabs and Jews alike will live in peace in that land.
Mm-hmm.
And Heavenly Father, I just once again look forward to your coming,
Jesus,
where peace will be amongst us for at least 1,000 years.
Prince of Peace.
In Psalms 122, verse 6, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who love you.
We pray for you.
So here we are, Lord. We are standing in your presence.
Yes.
And we are praying and believing together.
Yes, Lord.
For the peace of Jerusalem.
Thank you, God.
And Lord, in verse 7 of Psalm 122, you gave us a very, very simple prayer. Peace be within your walls, mm-hmm, and prosperity within your palaces.
Jesus.
Oh, Lord, we pray that this will happen. We pray for peace be within your walls,
mm-hmm,
and prosperity within your palaces.
Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in this day of prayer, the day of prayer for the peace of Jerusalem, this day,
thank you, God.
I just pray that there will be such a peace that would come over that city,
yes,
over that country,
hallelujah,
and over the people,
grant them
of
that,
Jerusalem,
pray,
and the state of Israel.
Amen.
And I pray for the same peace for all Jews, wherever they live throughout,
mm-hmm,
the world.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, I pray for the nation of Israel. First, I thank you, God, that we live here in a country that stands up in support,
mm-hmm,
of Israel.
And
we are feeling a blessing because of that.
May it always be.
God, I pray for the Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Netanyahu. I pray that you stay with him and encourage him. Clearly, this man is one that follows you and follows your teachings, God. As you have shown through the history of Israel, that
Jesus,
as their leader goes, so goes the rest of the people of the country. So God, I pray that he may have a strong faith in you,
yeah, Lord.
And that those strong leaders faith. Under him
Hallelujah.
That are making Find decisions and encouraging him, God, and advising him, that they too may be close to you
Hallelujah.
And be open to your word. Fill them, God, with your wisdom, not only with what to say when dealing with world leaders, God,
Jesus.
But also with dealing with their own safety and security of the country.
Yeah.
I pray, God, that you will continue with the miracles that happen every day
yeah.
as you protect this country.
More, Lord. More so.
Israel and Jerusalem are so important to you, God, and even to us as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Our roots are rooted deeply in Israel.
Yes.
And you have used Israel to reach out to us and to bring us to you.
Jesus.
Even while we were sinners and your enemy, you have blessed us and given us the path of salvation, God. I pray, God, that we may remember the importance of Israel every day when we pray.
Jesus.
And yes, God, I too will pray for Israel.
Jesus.
I pray, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to pray for Jerusalem, your holy city, and the place where you have chosen for your temple to have been built, and where you will dwell throughout eternity. We thank you so very much for that city of light and that city of peace, the city of our God. Lord, we pray for those brave young men and women who are serving that country with the IDF, and that they would have knowledge that would have to have been given by you, for their enemies would think that there must be spies in the land, for they would know that which they could not possibly know, for you would speak to them, and that they would be able to avoid every attack, every danger, every weapon formed against them. I pray it would not prosper. I pray for those countries that have chosen to stand against Israel, that they would come to their senses, if it at all possible, that they would come to know you as Lord, and that the fear of God would strike them to their very core, and that they would no longer fight against your people in your promised land. God, I know that ultimately it will come to an end, and there will be a final battle. But God, for today, we pray for peace. And I know that the enemy would choose today of all days to inflict as much harm as possible, but every weapon would come to naught. Pray today would indeed be a day of peace, and tomorrow too. And that we, as your people who have been called by your name to pray for your people and your beautiful city, that we would not forget soon or at all to prayer and to continue to pray for Jerusalem. That today and every day would be a day of prayer. That we would have at least a moment in our prayers to lift up your holy city. For the day is coming where it will be high and lifted up. Hallelujah. And what a sight. And we will go there too. For everyone will go to the New Jerusalem to worship you. And we will be there too. Hallelujah. So if it be in this life or in our life to come, that we will finally be there. Oh, we just praise you for it. And we thank you. We thank you for such a city, such a history, and such a future. In Jesus' wonderful name. We all said, amen. Amen. I wonder if our dear ladies would come forward again so we can sing in closing one last hymn. And we're going to sing fittingly, "We Are Marching to Zion." Why don't you stand with me and imagine with me that day coming, that true day coming, when we will. I'm hearing that? Yes, yes. Absolutely, you can. But you have a pretty soft voice, so can I do this?
Okay.
Give you that.
Thank you. I just felt the Lord speak to me to interrupt, and I hope you'll accept my apology, but I'm new here, but I hope, my name is Lynette, and I hope you'll come to call me sister. My husband and I have a foster child in Gaza, Israel. And as a mother, my children here, but as a mother, whenever I see the destruction in Israel, I get knots in my stomach thinking about the defenseless children. And we have a foster child, and his name is Muhammad Ahmed. I don't know. I can't pronounce his last name. Anyway, we have been deep in prayer for his, first of all, salvation. Second, for his safety. And the last time when I saw the disturbance between Gaza and Israel and the bombing, of course, again, my stomach went knots again in my heart. And I prayed and prayed. I said, God, just show me that your hand is over him and that you're protecting this little boy. And a month later, I got this in the mail from him. It was a handmade bracelet, just a piece of yarn. But it was a sign from God that he was protected. And it just says, there's just a little verse here. Some children in this particular area of West Jenin have a unique lifestyle that distinguishes them from all other children in this area. Their daily suffering extends for 2.5 kilometers. The distance they walked every day to attend school at a nearby town. Children experience fear and injustice on a daily basis as they have to cross the checkpoint on their way to school. The House of Development facility was a response to those needs and contribution of World Vision and community. Local community provided the premises while World Vision rehabilitated and equipped the facility with the needed tools and furniture to create the safe area for children. Saeed Kaid, 12-year-old boy, said, "Our dream is to have our basic rights in life as any other child in the world, and a right to live without fear, right to education, right to play, and to have a place in the village to go and play." House of Development, and for the first time, has made us feel like other children who have nice places to go to play, learn, and experience themselves. We illustrated our dream in the cartoon model we are made during one of the many life skills activities we participated in. House of Development. We put school, roads, clinic, playground, nice houses, and of course, an entrance to our village with no checkpoint. I just pray that all checkpoints will come down and that there will be peace in all of Israel.
Let's pray that right now then. Lord, thank you so much. You've reminded us through our dear sister Lynette that there are children in Israel who are so afraid and fearful every day as they walk to and from school, and they live every day under the threat of harm and occupation and all sorts of trouble. We pray, God, against that, and we pray, Jesus, for peace for those children. We pray safety over them. We pray guardian angels be appointed. Every one of them be safe, God, and we ask that indeed each one of those children would come to know you as Lord, that they would see their Messiah as their Lord. that they would come to know you as Savior of their lives, and indeed that you would keep them safe every day. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you for that reminder, and that is so good. Let's sing together. We are marching to Zion.